the one of one is missing.
I knew something was up.
Pop, that's almost twice as much going for the same price.
I just freaking love that Raider rookie logo.
Doing more buying.
Which one of these five quarterbacks has the worst set of pass catchers to throw the football to?
Guess how much I sniped this for an auction.
Number to five, you dirty animal.
I'm telling you, these optic on-card autos are money.
Football cards, collecting and investing. He's my BFF, Andy. My name is Carter. Of course, we go live, and of course, we answer your football card questions, all a part of the NoOffSeason.com Sports Network. And I'll keep saying it. There is no offseason in football cards. Andy, the one thing that stuck out to you over the weekend is actually running backs cards just going up. Basically out of nowhere, and you're asking me before the show, is there any news that I need to know about?
Yeah, I was searching everywhere on Saturday for news on Jahmyr Gibbs because his buy it now and best offer sold volume spiked up higher than CJ Stroud, almost the highest sold player in the entire hobby on Saturday in terms of buy it now and best offer accepted. And we know he's a second-year player. We know he had one of the highest yards after contact last year. Great offensive line, team that made it to the championship game this past year. So, yeah, great scenario. But I was looking to pinpoint, like, what was the tweet or the news? You know, was there a segment on ESPN about him that caused the spike? And I couldn't find anything, and I asked you, and you couldn't find anything either. So it was just very interesting.
Yeah, so I actually like him. Where he's currently going in underdog drafts. I think it's important to note when it comes to like best ball stuff, I want those super duper inflated weeks, right? Like a 50-point week matters so much more in like best ball. And also, Andy, that same thing actually applies to football cards, right? I think Jahmyr Gibbs is going to have like a 250-yard game. I think he has at least one of those in the chamber. He's got that Alvin Kamara type of game, and when you have those types of games, Andy, you know your prices start getting into like QB level stuff.
I feel like it is going to be tough though, because I saw a lot of David Montgomery's money was shifted to guaranteed money in 2024, so you know he's still going to be that hammer element, kind of like Derrick Henry on the Baltimore Ravens, wouldn't you say, Carter?
Yes. So we were looking at his rookie ticket autos, and man, Andy, it just seems too good to be true. Like, you got Lamar Jackson in the backfield, you got Derrick Henry, you know, in the backfield. That's about, you know, one of the most athletic, you know, backfields you'll ever see. But I don't know, Andy. I've been in the middle about this Derrick Henry move. Because from a football card perspective, his stuff has always been expensive, right? Heisman Trophy winner, played at Alabama, has been dominant in the NFL, but probably not as dominant as you would like to think. So, yeah, I'm just kind of in the middle of from a fantasy perspective, but also a football card perspective.
Well, it's interesting because I did this examination with Saquon Barkley, and, you know, with Saquon Barkley being a former number two overall pick and just an athletic freak, kind of like Derrick Henry, you know, there was a dip on their rookie auto market, which I kind of consider as their mid-tier market here. You can see Derrick Henry back at the beginning of March, even. You have a base contenders rookie ticket auto selling for $130 on just four bids in auction. And if you look at them now, I mean, they're selling and buy it now, that same exact card for $227 in a buy it now. You know, so that's a big increase, and also a very high just overall dollar value compared to the overall running back market for rookie ticket autos.
Tough schedule next year for the Ravens, Andy. I'm not gonna say the Ravens are going to just fade into oblivion. But, you know, they lost some key pieces here in free agency. And, man, I'm a little concerned from Derrick Henry's standpoint of Keaton Mitchell, right? When he comes back from injury, how much is he going to eat into Derrick Henry's workload? So let me ask you this, and I'll ask the chat this. Do you think he still has juice, right? I look at that Baltimore offense. Gus Edwards had 13 touchdowns last year. So you would like to think Derrick Henry would be productive, but I don't know. For some reason, I feel a little weird about this fit. I don't know why.
So I can see him putting up 12 to 15 touchdowns, but not getting anywhere near the yardage that he's gotten in years past or the total overall rush attempts. I feel like you're going to have Lamar Jackson siphoning off some rush attempts. You're going to have some Keaton Mitchell involvement. And I think the rush attempts overall for Derrick Henry are going to be scaled back as they try and get their money's worth out of him, so to speak, as he's 30 years old and just the amount of carries that he's got on his body is tremendous. But he's still going to play that hammer role. And so I think he could still put up 12 to 15 touchdowns. And ultimately, I look at him as like a buy-in October, November of the upcoming season when maybe the Baltimore Ravens are struggling a little bit. You know, not really struggling, but Derrick Henry's not the leading rusher in the NFL. And, you know, maybe they have a loss or two in there. And it's just not the peak time to buy running backs. When a lot of that focuses on like the MVP race and the teams that are just, you know, the rookies and the teams that are just really breaking out. And then Derrick Henry's a playoff. So you buy him in October, November during that mid-season lull we talk about. And then the playoffs come. We know the Ravens are going to be playoff contenders. They make another deep run there. And all of a sudden, Derrick Henry shines in the playoffs. And that's when you really see your best prices on Derrick Henry. And hey, who knows? If he gets a ring, maybe, you know, he wants to consider retirement. I think that's when you're looking at your best prices on Derrick Henry, besides selling right now off all this hype. That if you already bought Derrick Henry back in January, December, like we just showed you, right now is a great time to sell based on the news. Otherwise, I would be waiting till October, November to buy back in. I wouldn't be buying right now because you're paying a premium. You're paying, you know, close to 100% higher than what they were potentially selling for last week. And these are sticky cards. I mean, auctions from 2016 rookie ticket autos aren't a dime a dozen. You can't find 2016 rookie ticket autos like you can for Drake London from 2022. So, you know, big difference there. And I think October, November is going to be your best time to buy Derrick Henry.
Yeah. Also keep in mind that all-time great running back cards, I always bring this up, like LaDainian Tomlinson, you could still build a pretty nice LT collection like now. And he's the best running back of the past couple of decades. Same thing with Adrian Peterson. And I am not certain Derrick Henry is a lock for the Hall of Fame. That might sound like an extremely hot take. It's been the four Pro Bowls he's had. You know, obviously really, really dominant years. He's had amazing peak years, but I just want to throw that out there. I know that'll get, you know, picked apart. Now, Andy, I want to ask you about Justin Fields. All right. This quarterback last year was a hobby darling. We were talking about him going into the National in Chicago. Fields had a lot of hype, and we saw what the NFL market felt about him. You've heard what I've said over the past couple of weeks, that he is a backup. No team is going to make him a starter because he's just not been that good. Your thoughts on Fields, not only as a player, but a very bizarre, strange card market for a 2021 draft class that is just struggled.
Yeah, 2021 draft class really is a strange, strange product, man. All the, you know, with how bad the Prism has struggled from that year to gem it out, with how bad the contenders rookie ticket autos were with the edge and corner issues. Yeah, really, really strange year for the hobby because we know they also kind of they overinflated the print runs a little bit that year as well. As definitely the peak year when you look at the modern day bubble. So yeah, there's that to consider. And then, yeah, Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Mac Jones, you know, now Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, that this whole draft class is definitely Jamar Chase stands out as I think the brightest gem from that draft class. And so I look at Justin Fields. He's definitely gone up a lot since being traded to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this is interesting because these rookie ticket autos for Justin Fields got in that like 150 to $100 range there back in the end of the season. And now we've got 250, 215. So these are mostly sealed by Panini in the redemption cases. And you can see there's definitely some increased volume for him. But Russell Wilson has been named the starter by Mike Tomlin. I think there's probably a 50-50 percentage of people that aren't buying this news. They understand, like, what I think, Carter, is there's going to be a competition in training camp and preseason. Steelers are one of the most televised teams throughout the preseason process. Their training camp has their own YouTube channel. It's like live every day. You can sit there and watch the whole thing. And so I think there's going to be a lot of news, a lot of videos coming out of camp. Justin Fields, more athletic than Russell Wilson. He's also got a decent moon ball like Russ as well. So if he can kind of develop some of those decision-making skills and get a little bit better in terms of his time to throw and his progression scan and stuff like that, some of those advanced analytics that you break down on your Power Hour NFL channel, I think there's going to be a ton of rumors, speculation, hype on who's going to start for the Steelers in September. And I think there's probably going to be some preseason games where Justin Fields looks like the man because he's going up against a second string defense in week one of preseason. And so that's just going to exacerbate the issue, and Justin Fields' cards are going to go up. So ultimately, I would look for this hype, initial hype right here, to die down. I think you can make money if you bought them back in December, but I would look for this to die down right now. I wouldn't be sending my Justin Fields cards to auctions because I think they're going to go a little bit undervalued. And I would wait till after the draft, all that hype dies down, wait till like the end of May, beginning of June, and then buy Justin Fields and aim to flip him heading into the season, Carter. Do you think there's going to be that battle before the season starts this year?
Yeah, I'm trying to talk myself into making this a play, even though Fields is hurt my soul, because I liked him coming out, right? And him and Russ, semi-similar, you know, quarterbacks, right? Both transferred in college. Both became a lot better at the second stop. Both of their transfers were into the Big Ten. And, well, you know, both have their issues seeing over the middle, right? Obviously, you know, Fields is more athletic. He's bigger. But, man, I just the processing, right? It's just not there from time to time. But like Russell Wilson, you know, he's got one of the more exciting mixtapes you'll see of him making unfreaking believable plays, right? And I just think from a hobby standpoint, that is something, right? It really, really, really is, because, you know, highlights matter. People like to impulse buy things. So there could be a training camp moment. Also, there's flashy training camp type of players that play on the Steelers. I can't tell you how many times people have sent me George Pickens one-handed catches in training camp. So that'll get people accustomed to seeing Justin Fields in the black and gold. So you could see it. You really could see it. But man, I'm just out on him. One very strange thing though, Andy, finishing up here on the 2021 class, it just goes to show you how much more, you know, stranglehold quarterbacks have on the hobby, because you look at that class overall, outside of the QBs, there are a lot of studs in that draft class. Obviously, on the lower end, Nico Collins is a third-round pick, but you have Jamar Chase. You have Micah Parsons, who will go down as one of the best, you know, defensive players of all time when his career is over. I'm a huge fan, and I know this doesn't mean anything in a hobby, Christian Darrisaw of the Minnesota Vikings is one of my favorite offensive tackles I've ever watched. I didn't think he'd be this good. Rashawn Slater, another good offensive tackle from that class. But it's all about the QBs, baby. The QBs have got to play well for was that a BO?
Oh, no, don't forget about Kyle Pitts.
Oh my God, bless America.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts has been popping up. That was my subtle cue to shout out Kyle Pitts, University of Florida alumni. top 10 overall pick from 2021. He's also, you know, he's not been selling quite as much as Drake London, but he's been going wild.
And I also know you work out in the morning. I worked out this morning too, did some arm exercises, but you're going like this. I was like, wait, can you smell me through the camera here? Oh my goodness. Let's go to a Football Card Quest member, Clickbaits, Andy.
Clickbaits just pulled a Puka Auto Redemption Rookie Signatures Orange out of 75 from Rookies and Stars. Should I redeem it or sell the redemption card now? Carter, personally, I say sell the redemption card now. You know, believe it or not, there's a ton of people that buy redemptions. They either cash them in for the points that they then save and buy stuff in the future on Panini's website, like exclusive stuff, like some of those NFLPA Premier cards and the Panini Instants that come out. You can only get with those points, or people will go through the redemption process and we'll hunt that down. But that could take a long time. You know, there's a long backlog for that stuff sometimes. And I would go ahead and sell it now with Puka just, I mean, scorching hot. Yeah. The Rams have upgraded their offensive line considerably on the interior. This should buy Stafford more time. I'm seeing people reading that between the lines here in the sold data for Puka, because he is still one of the hottest, if not, you know, up there with Jahmyr Gibbs type of territory, skill position players in the hobby. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, Puka couldn't have found a better landing spot, and he is also an elite guy. But let's actually just break this down in terms of the card itself, Andy. Rookie signatures orange, so we don't have a color match here with this jersey. So if this was, let's just say, Jamar Chase or T. Higgins or a Cleveland Browns player, that'd be a little bit different. I do like the fact that this card is numbered. Rookies and Stars, they do have some on-card autos. I think they also have some stickers, so I don't know which one this would be. But Rookie and Stars is just not a coveted set. I don't even remember the last time Rookie and Stars was even mentioned on this show. Or Andy, are you a Rookie and Stars guy?
No, you know, it's a cardboard cardstock finish card that has a foil finish, so it's not a true chrome card. It's, you know, I got to rank it down there with close to an absolute, somewhere between an absolute, kind of like around that legacy type range. It's probably down in like the 30s for me, 20s or 30s in terms of set ranking. So right. Yeah, it's not a great set to really invest in or hold long term, unless the card is just super rare.
This is a cliffhanger, so you guys could stay with us till the end. I'm actually going to give you the set that has moved into my top five, and that happened just this past week, just doing some eBay hunting. That's coming up in just a second. But yeah, I'd move this Clickbaits. And, you know, we bring this up with Hector here. What ultimately happens to Puka when Stafford retires? Sell now before that happens. Yeah, you know, this is the battle I've had, Andy, and I discussed this with Derek, who is in the chat right now under a pseudonym. We had a conversation this week about Justin Jefferson, right? You know, these pocket type of quarterbacks are the best quarterbacks for receivers, right? Because they don't run, right? They play within, you know, the framework of how the play is going to be run. So it's guys like Jared Goff. It's guys like, you know, Matthew Stafford. It's guys like Kirk Cousins. Are these receivers still going to produce at the same level without, you know, a pure, you know, pocket quarterback? But I think Stafford still has at least this next year, probably the year after that. So but yeah, it is a good question, and we won't have this debate again. I would go back to last week's episode where Andy and I got into a debate ranking the wide receivers. I'm a little bit higher on Puka in terms of my wide receiver hierarchy. Andy's a little bit lower. So it's very interesting. Let's go to Family Burlinder. He says, Andy, do you have a set rankings list on your Card Quest website with nooffseason.com?
Yeah, we do. We do. Go to footballcardquest.com. We have a Go Premium button. Right now, all that is stored in a Google Sheet format. But once you become a member and you get access to our Discord, we have a set rankings channel within our Discord server where you can access that information.
There you go. And once again, join the Patreon, right? We got, I won't reveal this publicly. We're still working on this. We do have, you know, one of our major assets, a part of a football card quest Patreon. It's actually growing. So that's why you need to go ahead and sign up, because we've got some really cool data projects on the way. You know, Andy, one thing I do want to bring up here, and I know I've mentioned this, you know, quite a bit. It's just amazing on Twitter how much people are loving 2023 Prism. I bring it up every single week, but it didn't feel like this for, you know, 2022. And it still shocks me to this day that people feel this way about 2023 Prism, because it lost equity, right? With the signatures not being, you know, in the product of the elite guys, but people still freaking love Prism. They just do.
Yeah, and this is going to be my hobby tip of the week. They really stretched out the release schedule between these major flagship sets. You know, Select lost. I see Hector. He still loves Select. I still love Select. I love field levels, but you can see they've clearly lost value. So it's like the main flagship product that really has held great value is Prism. But look at the time between release dates of these major flagship brands. I'm not like, you know, Rookies and Stars and Obsidian and Impeccable and some of these smaller brands that they release in between. You have the major flagship brands like Donruss. Mosaic is kind of up there with Select. But Prism stands out above all others because there is a ton of demand for the Prism Silvers. You know, the Prism Negative Silvers, the Disco, No Huddle Prism Silvers. You got the color, the Orange Laser Color Match, the Silver Prism Rookie Autos. I mean, they've even got some press-proof silver parallels this year. They've got a couple new parallels. The photo variation this year, Carter, is doing great. If you look at the sold volume, it's very close in comparison to the main photo. They didn't do too many photo variations like I feel like they've done in previous years. So it's a great product. It's still selling a ton. And we just got word this week, or maybe it came out last week, but I'm just now seeing it, that Optic has been announced for April 19th. So that'll be the next flagship set. And you see, that's a 3 to 4 month time period between release dates of the major flagship sets that gets not only distributed out in hobby format in the hobby boxes, but also in retail. And people can get those blaster boxes and mega boxes from your Targets and your Walmarts and stuff. And that's great, because that's how a lot of that product gets out there as well.
Yeah, Ziggy makes a good point. Actually, the lack of autos is why he thinks Prism is so strong. The value is in the shiny and color rookie. I agree. I mean, there's something about a color match Prism. It doesn't matter what. I saw that one person has three of the Puka Gold number to 10 rookies. And I was like, wow. Those look super clean. One random thing I would say about Select, okay? The field level Select will always be one of my favorite football cards. And if you rainbow field level Select collect, those cards look so pretty next to each other, Andy. If you ever just get all the parallels of field levels, it looks like a modern day artistic set. Or like a painting, if you will. So there you go.
This is the new White Knight super short print Prism Silver parallel this year. I don't know if you can see that, but there's like little White Knight logos, like a Knight, K-N-I-G-H-T, if you're listening to this. And you can see this is a PSA 10. This card is also serial numbered out of 3. Ooh. So this just sold for $15,000 just about a week ago, actually 2 weeks ago on March 3rd.
What's go to that Bryce Young? I'm interested to see what that Bryce Young price was.
What's your guess?
Let's see. So it's gold vinyl. Okay, number to five to. Let's go 11K.
Survey says 12K. Ah! So, but you didn't go over. So
Bob Barker, me. Let's go. I appreciate the super chat here from Gay Power Hour NFL. Did it 1K subs over the weekend. I really appreciate that. I was going to say that for the end because I'm all about the football card quest here. But yeah, it was hard work. I would say it was hard work. That's the fastest I've ever got one of my channels to 1K. Took a month. This shows you the power of the NFL. So I appreciate you guys showing me support. And Gabe, for your friendship, you're one of my best buds. And there's Cody. Okay. So put Cody on the screen. Cody, I want you to type this out if you can. Cody was at the Dallas Card Show this weekend. So, Cody, feel free to type this out. He was texting me a bunch from the show. Andy, I was DJing a disco this weekend. So I was super busy. I couldn't text Cody as much as I wanted to. I did this weekend, Andy, meet the legendary Kix Brooks. Do you know who Kix Brooks is?
No, this is embarrassing, but this is another one of those boozy badass situations. No,
he couldn't be more opposite than Boosie. Oh man, that's so funny. But no, Kix Brooks, for my Neon Moon, my Maria fans out there, you know the great Kix Brooks. He's a country artist, Andy, part of Brooks and Dunn. They were the outcast of country music, and that they were the duo that took it to another level. That is hilarious. I would like to see Kix Brooks and Boosie collaborate. That would be great. But yes, I do want to talk a little bit about my hobby tip of the week. All right. We got into a big debate a few months ago about Phoenix. I don't personally like Phoenix, but I understand why a lot of people do. The chat, Football Card Quest viewers, Andy, like Phoenix. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's quite a few guys that love Phoenix. And one of the reasons why, Carter, is because of the high PSA 10 hit rate. There's a really solid conversion rate of raw to PSA 10, and that can be hard to find in a lot of ultra-modern sets. But in Phoenix, you got some – it's a chrome stock card. It's a thick card. It's just like Prism or Optic, and you get a high raw to PSA 10 conversion rate.
Yeah, I'm going to give you my set that is growing on me, and it's starting to – talk to me like it should be my major PC because, you know, if I'm PC and I just want to collect my favorite players as cheaply as I possibly could. I've just grown on Spectra. It's a set that's released early. It's a set that has a ton of numbered cards, a set that has a bunch of parallels that kind of reminds me of 90s NBA parallels, right? You want to, you know, get the hobby community into, you know, a tizzy outside the football card realm. Get in, talk with these 90s NBA collectors about which inserts the absolute best. These Spectra inserts kind of remind me of those, right? So it's just grown on me. It's not really a hobby tip. It's actually just a personal preference. So I know Spectra is not popular, but I don't know why I like it. So I wouldn't recommend it. It's not going to be as good as Prism as far as like long-term value. I just like the design.
Spectra's grown a lot from the 2014 Mike Evans days to the 2023. And it actually this year, Carter, this is recently released. This just came out 2023. Yeah. They just released it within the past month or so. I'm not quite sure when they released it the past couple of years, but this year at least it's been the past month or so. And it's grown a lot, man. You can see this Devon Achane, for example, purple neon. I mean, cool looking cards. You talk about the chunkiest of chunky cards you will find in the hobby are Spectra. They have these super thick chrome stock finishes. A lot of them have really nice patches and RPAs. They're almost all serial numbered. So you get some really nice colors and designs in them. I like Spectra as well. I think, you know, when I first got into the hobby in 2020, Spectra was viewed as, you know, one of those sets you typically stay away from because it's only certain, like a small percentage of the overall hobby like to collect it. Well, I think, you know, if it was like 5% in 2020 or 2019, I think that's now like 30 to 40% of the hobby really like the new Spectra product. So if there's that many people collecting it, and my thought is, then that's something I want to sell to those collectors. If people want to collect it, then that means it's going to be in demand and it's going to be something that I can move in and out of in the market and really not be stuck with it, you know?
Right. So, Cody, if you can, type out a full response on your biggest takeaways from the Dallas Card Show, because, you know, I hear this phrase all the time, two different Americas. There are two different hobbies, right? There's a hobby that we mostly focus on, Andy, which is the eBay hobby, the online hobby, where we buy and sell most of our cards through online transactions. But Andy, there's also a big chunk of the hobby, which is something that you and I both would love to be more involved with, which is the in-person side of things. It is a completely different thing. It really is. And I know, like, some people would say the opposite, because in-person, people still use eBay comps as a way of determining card values, but it kind of sort of doesn't. Like, there's a huge difference being in front of a dealer, the card being in your hand right there, and making cash or friends and family transactions right in front of people. And this was actually the point I wanted to talk about here with Hector. Have you been hearing about this, Andy, as far as card shows being dominated by repackers? I'm still trying to learn what exactly that means. Is it just people buying these cards just to put in repacks where people don't know what they're getting? Is that what he's meaning by this?
Yeah, I don't know personally, but I know of quite a few repackers, and they're people that either go to shows and they clean up, you know, a lot of mid to lower tier cards, and then they'll put together different packs. You know, you see it with football cards, you see it with baseball, basketball, probably hockey, definitely Pokemon. But yeah, they get all these mid to lower tier cards. Maybe they put in one out of every 500 cards is a high-end card. Maybe some of the repackers do it a little bit differently, but this is the gist of it. And then they'll have like three different color foil packs that they make themselves. They'll have like a bronze pack, a silver pack, and a gold pack, you know, and they'll charge different prices for them, and they'll maybe advertise a little bit different hit rate for each of them. And some of these guys have built up, I think, a good reputation for including a decent amount of hits. But they get these hits by going to shows or, you know, paying below comps and clearing out tables and, you know, yeah, and putting these repacks together. But not everybody wins. Obviously, if you're putting together packs, you can't put hits in every pack, you know. So that's the thing about it. But there are some, like, you'll find them even on Amazon, and you can go on there and you can find some repacks. But it's super sketchy because you don't know the reputation, the character behind the person that's actually packing it. I don't think there's any regulation or oversight into the process. It's not like, you know, when the packs are put together at the manufacturer, it's a more consistent, at least it's supposed to be, a more consistent regulated process of how often hits are put in and this and that.
All right. So we do have plays of the week coming up in just a moment. Let's go to Cody's because he was in person. If anyone else is at Dallas Card Show or at a card show this weekend, please feel free to comment. Cody's has an MLB take. Actually, I do love Paul Skenes a lot, but I won't go to that one. I want to go to the second takeaway. More tables buying than selling in some areas of the floor. Also, no one wants to sell on eBay anymore. More card show only sellers now. Very interesting. You know, I heard that at the National last summer as well. The in-person experience is just so much better. That's why I love going to shows. Of course, I set up at a show recently, and I was able to move quite a bit of inventory and, you know, buy some on the cheap as well. So, yeah, you know, I think a big part of your hobby experience is if you're able to go to shows. Not every single person can, though. you know, it is expensive. Got to get hotels to go to the really nice shows. You could be like me and live in a really small town. So there you go, Andy. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I will be setting up at a show here, the St. Pete card show here in just less than a month. My guy Michael Ham fishing, and I'm gonna get a table there and set up a booth. If anybody wants to come out, it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna bring the cards, try and make some deals. I'm gonna be trying to do some buying as well. So I think it's interesting. You know, I talked about with Steve your thought about actually setting up as a dealer at a show and how that can net you some really good deals buying versus selling. Even like, it's just advantageous to be a dealer at a show regardless. I see James was crushing it at his last show from Repackers. Repackers bought $5,100 in cards from him. That's incredible. That's awesome. And you can see stacking singles. He's hit some amazing cards in mystery packs, and that's what keeps people coming back, you know?
I'm happy for you, James, getting that 5,100. I did see that happen quite a bit at tables, right? Just on social media, people just buying tables out for the repacking. And if you're set up, that's good. You know, you clear out all that inventory. It's less stuff for you to worry about in your area, and it gives you opportunity to make some good buys off that money you just made. So there you
and we sell on eBay we consider the fees as part of selling on eBay. That's just what you do. You know, you add another 10 to 15% depending on your seller ranking. You know, there's ways to reduce your percentage of fees. You can also get a reseller's agreement set up so you don't have to pay taxes when you buy. There's advantages in loopholes that you can take advantage of on eBay that we've done videos on in the past. And These are advantageous, so you don't have to pay that max 15% seller fee. But if you are selling on eBay, take it into consideration, increase your prices by 15%. And sometimes you just have to be more patient, right? You know, you're getting a ton of traffic, but a lot of times you do have to wait for these news spikes or these production spikes of certain events that happen to get the price that you want.
It's important to also note that there are, you know, when you do the eBay versus in-person debate, make sure if you are setting up at shows that you have players that people actually want, right? Andy, I have a lot of eBay-only cards. You heard that at the National. You're around me at National. I have a lot of things that I personally like to collect, and not a whole lot of people do. So if that's the case, you should take that into heavy consideration when you go to shows, because there's some players like Tyrann Mathews, my favorite athlete maybe ever. That's not going to be somebody that moves at shows. You know, he's a defensive player. He'll be a Hall of Famer, but it's in-person stuff. If you've got CJ Strouds, Bryce Youngs, so on and so on, of what people want. And then, you know, to compare the seller fees versus eBay, there's nothing like making a cash transaction, right? It is straight up simple market dynamics, right? There's obviously no taxes you got to worry about. There's no delivery you got to worry about. There's no, hey, look, my dog food just came in my Chewy.com bags. Let me cut out the cardboard so I can slap it together with some blue tape, and hopefully it ships there nicely in a bubble mailer. There's none of that shit. You're only worrying about just the deal being made hand to hand. So there you go. Cardboard money. Please send me that Malik Nabers card. I would love to look at it. Send me the link if you can. But Andy, it's time for a play of the week before we skedaddle here. It's up to you.
Yeah, man. I think it's a great time for play of the week. I'm going to give you my play. I think it's going to be Michael Wilson with the Arizona Cardinals. This is a second year player entering the league. And I'm just looking at a variety of these latest mock drafts. I think there's a high probability that the Minnesota Vikings trade up to take the Arizona Cardinals spot in the draft. I think the Chargers draft Marvin Harrison Jr. at 5. The top four picks are all quarterbacks. And then I think the Cardinals go with a defensive player at pick 11 versus a wide receiver. So I think ultimately, Michael, with the departure of Marquise Brown, and look at the rest of this depth chart, I see like a recent spike in Rondale Moore. But when I look at just the overall depth chart, wait, is Rondale Moore even still on? He's still on the team, right?
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah, I thought he was. But yeah. So when I look at the overall depth chart of the Arizona Cardinals, I think I want to get a piece of this Michael Wilson, man. He tested great at the combine in 2023, 6'1", 216, you know, really solid profile, third round draft pick, great work ethic. Man, this guy ranked really well. Carter, what's your take on Michael Wilson? Because his cards are really cheap right now.
Yeah, you get Marquise Brown out of the room. That's the main thing, right? I've not even looked at Marquise Brown's prices. I'm sure they have skyrocketed. I think I saw you tweet about that, actually, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he went crazy, man.
Yeah, that's probably like one guy that I think would be pretty interesting at this point. I actually do like Michael Wilson. You know, when Kyler came back, they really didn't have that connection. But final week of the season, they did connect. And, you know, he's going to be wide receiver 3. I think the Cardinals will draft Marvin Harrison, and obviously Trey McBride will be the number 2 guy there. And then Michael Wilson will get that, you know, that number 3 role. So we'll see how that turns out. You know, he was very underrated. Okay. So Rondale Moore is a Falcon. All right.
Yeah. That totally. Yeah.
I did not see, there were so many deals that have happened. I guess I didn't see that. So that makes your Michael Wilson play even better.
Even better.
There you go. So I like it. Andy, my play of the week, and I'm not a huge tight end guy. It's just not my thing. I'm gonna go with Cole Kmet, right? You bring in Keenan Allen, you bring in DJ Moore. Obviously, Cole Kmet was a decent tight end, right? Caleb Williams comes in. I just believe Caleb Williams is going to draw in so much hype that the card prices of all the skill guys will rise. There is value with that number one hype coming in. And then people are going to be like, well, who's a tight end? Well, it's Cole Kmet. I think Cole Kmet's a decent player. I don't think he's a spectacular tight end. I think his cards are, you know, relatively cheap. So just keep an eye out for him. I do think there is a world, if everything were to go his way, he could sneak his way into a Pro Bowl, backdoor it. So we'll see what happens. There are a lot of mouths that Caleb is going to have to feed in that offense. As Hector points out, you got DeAndre Swift. You also got two other really good running backs. So we shall see. And one other player I'm going to give you, Andy, is Zamir White of the Las Vegas Raiders. He's grown on me some. I like I like that Raiders backfield. I think he'll end up being the number one back there unless they just draft somebody. So not worried about anybody else in that Raiders backfield. Zamir White didn't look good early in his NFL career, but he had some juice towards the end of this last season. And Antonio Pierce is a defensive guy. He's going to want to run the football. Give me Zamir White as well. I'm going to give you two.
Yeah, I think Zamir White owners, both Fantasy, Dynasty, and the people that are buying his cards right now, they're still pretty cheap, even though they have gone up. They're still pretty cheap. I think they're going to be crossing their fingers and their toes that he dodges the draft, right? Because the Raiders draft a guy, then all of a sudden, okay, this is fresh, you know, competition for him heading into camp, maybe a split backfield. But if he dodges the draft and they like maybe spend at max like a fifth or fourth round pick on a running back, I think it's wheels up for Zamir White. I think you're right. So I like that pick as well, even though he has gone up. He's one of those guys that's not really going to stick well in auctions, I think. I think there's going to be quite a few auctions for him that go undervalued compared to the buy it nows. So I think that's a great play, Carter.
I love it. All right. Well, we do both have work meetings coming up. So, Andy, I'm going to let you take the last comment or anything that you want to get to here at the end.
All right. So a couple of things. What do you think about the Bears? Because, you know, the Bears got number one overall pick. They're clearly going with Caleb Williams, most likely. I mean, he's pretty dramatic, it seems like. I mean, at least in some of these interviews and some of the press releases about him and stuff. But what about the Bears at pick number nine drafting a wide receiver? I mean, we had a deep wide receiver class. If Marvin Harrison goes at five, Roman Duse goes at six to the Giants, the Titans probably drafting offensive line. They really need it. The Falcons, obviously, they've added Rondale Moore, Darnell Mooney, Kirk Cousins. I think they go with some type of defensive player there at eight, like maybe Dallas Turner. And then pick nine, you've got Malik Nabers sitting there.
Okay. If Malik Nabers falls to nine, that'll be one of the all-time NFL draft atrocities I have ever seen. Okay. Ever. Like, I do think he'll have a better career than Marvin Harrison. Not afraid to admit that. Andy, I understand I'll get labeled. Well, you're an LSU guy. Well, I'll tell you this. I am not as on fire about Brian Thomas at the next level as some of the other NFL guys. So I'm not just pro LSU guy. I'm just telling you, when you see Malik Nabers next year in the NFL, you're going to remember me right here telling you that this guy is going to be one of the best receivers in the league, right? Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson just left LSU. Malik Nabers had a better career than both of them. So just take that. Just take my word for it, okay? Guy is going to be freaking special. But if he does go to Caleb Williams at nine and you have Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, they become the best wide receiver unit, period, in the NFL if that were to happen. So I would hate that spot for him as well. I don't want him to be a number three. I want him to be at least a top two option. And I still think the Chargers are going to take him at five.
Interesting. Now, so second question I want to have you, this is not related directly to the draft, but it is a guy that has been selling a ton. His rookie ticket autos are still pretty cheap. Talk about 2022 rookie Sam Howell. He threw the ball a ton last year, and he had glimpses of brilliance in certain games and certainly had the volume there, but a lot of it was inefficient volume. He still has rookie ticket autos that are selling for $45 base raw, but a ton of them are selling. Like, I feel like his prices have gone up. His hype has gone up if you look at the data. But is he going to win the starting job over Geno Smith in Seattle? A lot of this hype is just because, you know, Seattle's got a new head coach. I know you're a fan of Mike McDonald, and they've got Geno Smith there right now as a starter, but they have excellent weapons and Tyler Lockett. They re-signed him, DK Metcalf, and the rookie from last year, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So what's your take on Sam Howell starting in Seattle?
Yeah, so you lose Damian Lewis. He's a really good guard to the Panthers. And I am worried as hell about Sam Howell, right? The fantasy analysts and the film community do take into account sacks. A lot of studies have been done that sacks are actually the most prevalent indicator that a quarterback is either good or bad. And there's been a change that sacks are more an indication of the quarterback than the offensive line. We grew up thinking the opposite. Sam Howell takes a lot of sacks. Justin Fields takes a lot of sacks. Sam Howell's not the absolute biggest guy. He's not the absolute most athletic guy. I'm just out, but I could see him step in for, you know, I heard Geno Smith and have a good day or two with a way better supporting cast than he ever had in Washington. So it could be a play, especially if his rookie ticket autos are in that $40 range. Like you said, it's very interesting. But Stack and Single says Howell is going to tear it up. So we'll see.
One last question for you, Carter. Where would you rather have Jaden Daniels land? The Commanders, the Patriots, or the Commanders or the Patriots?
I don't like either one of those landing spots. at this point, I would probably say the Commanders, you know, with the NFC being the NFC and the AFC being the AFC, Patriots, just both situations are really bad. We'll put it that way. But Commanders right now have a better receiving core. I'm not a Kingsbury guy. I'm just not. But I'm going to go Commanders over Patriots. What say you? What say you, Chad? Type C for Commanders, type P for Patriots. What say you, Andy?
Yeah, I think a better landing spot for him is probably the Patriots. But the weapons are better in Washington, and they have a ton of cap space. They now have the most cap space available post week one of the new league year in free agency. So the Commanders are a nice spot, and you have all this experience in Terry McLaurin, who is still, I put my flag plant there, he is still a top 10 wide receiver in the league, easy. I mean, Jahan Dotson's good too, and they've added a ton of guys. They got like Zach Ertz there on the roster now. So I think Austin Eckler at running back. So I think the Commanders would be a great landing spot for him in terms of just his overall development. But then from a hobby perspective and like his rookie card values, obviously the Patriots would be the top landing spot there, would really see him skyrocket.
Yeah, and Hector makes a good point. Do not count out the Raiders or Jaden Daniels, right? Antonio Pierce was one of his college coaches. Also, Raiders on the West Coast. Jaden also on the West Coast. I actually like the Raiders better than those other two spots because Jaden is a warm weather guy. He's played in California, played in Baton Rouge. It doesn't mean he can't play in cold weather. He's really never really had to, where, you know, Allegiant Field is one of the premier facilities on the planet right now. So that might actually end up being a better spot. It's just that division is just so brutal. You know, you got the greatest quarterback arguably ever, and then Herbert and the other coach is also a Hall of Fame coach. So that's a really, really tough spot. But the Raiders, silver and black, that would look good on JD5. So
that would.
All right, great. Good times, everyone. Don't forget Andy. He basically goes live almost every day. Football Card Quest, all a part of the NoOffseason.com Sports Card Network. CGC, Andy, got to see the facility. Has it sunk in, everything that you got to witness?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a fantastic tour. That actually, the video of the tour is coming out, I think, later this week, if I remember correctly. This is scheduled. Check out the Sports Card Strategy YouTube channel. We're going to be simulcasting that video out to both channels and the interviews over there. So yeah, good stuff. Good stuff, man.
Simulcasting is like the third best Andyism today. The first is this, and then the second is you putting Boosie and Kix Brooks in the same sentence. It's probably the only time. That's two. They're both Louisiana guys, but still. Until next week, y'all. Peace out. Boom.
Peace out.